Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 66, stanzas 1-4. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keep my feet from every snare. 1-4 of Psalter 66.
wish to read from God's holy and precious word from the book Philippians, and thereof chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, wilt thou clothe thy church with humility? For what have we that we have not received? And thou sayest, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it, or that it may bring in the dust of self-abasement before thee, even as thou wilt do for thy church for all eternity, to magnify and to glorify thy great and thrice holy name. For all that thou hast decreed in eternity and what thou hast brought forth in the time, and which is by us so undeserved, then we ought to humble ourselves in the dust of self-abasement before thee, that we might feel it continually, and that we may be given more and more to flee unto that shed blood and that broken body, Oh, that thy church might learn to live more by faith, that they may magnify thy name, and that it may be evident also in their life unto others. Oh, that thou may give them to experience more and more of that Sabbath day's rest, that it may be for a making jealous of others who are filled with anxiety, and rightly so in our natural state. Lord, look upon all those that look on with desire. For thou knowest those who are found continually in their inner chambers. Thou knowest those who may weep. Thou knowest those who do seek. Thou knowest those who do pray and who do read, and yet have no answer from above. And Lord, we beseech thee, oh, that thou couldest encourage them, and that thou may give them a little token for good. May it be also in this evening hour, as our fathers do write, that they might wait for a season of richer grace. And as that Naomi of old has said unto Ruth, oh, that it is good that they find thee, my daughter, in no other field, or that they may come in that field to glean on Boaz's field, and that thou mayest on purpose leave behind handfuls. Oh, Lord, we need to be given those handfuls. We do not know what they stand in need of. We do not know how to lead them. Oh, that they might be given, that we might be given by thee a little word for them, to speak on thy behalf unto them, and that thou mayest lead them to that place where they may come to a complete end in themselves, where thou hast opportunity to magnify thy dear Son, that thou may reveal him, that thou may open that blessed mystery, and that thou mayest give faith to go forth, that thou wouldest give hope to be born, and that thou mayest lift off the yoke a moment from the jaws. Lord, we beseech thee for them. Thou knowest the daughters of Jerusalem, O Lord. They do not know the way themselves. They are seeking after the bride's husband also. O Lord, they do not know it, but thou knowest where they are. Oh, show it unto them, that thou mayest thyself lead them into that blessed truth. Look upon all those that are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Lord, thou knowest we can no more take it from ourselves and them if necessary, oh Lord, than we need to be undeceived by thee. We beseech thee also for them, for what shall it be to stand one day at thy door, to be knocking and to be turned away, with that word, I know thee not. O Lord, look upon all those that deceive themselves and that walk in a hypocritical way over this world, with a face before others that is not the same as what is before thee. Oh, then that thou wouldest open our eyes and undeceive us, that we die not and be cast away in such a manner. Lord, look upon us when we do sit in our benches, and when we do come from week unto week, even as cold and dead as the benches that we do sit upon, oh, then we hope in something, whatever that is, and mostly that there will be another day tomorrow, and that today we can still continue on as we have been born. Oh, we do not see, and that there is a pit that is below. Oh, we do not see that we are hanging there above, and that we, the thread of our life, can be cut off at any moment. Oh Lord, what shall it be to enter into that awful pit where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Oh, then we need to be awakened, Lord, from blaming our state and condition on Thee. Oh, that we may be made active by a true saving faith, that we may be given to believe, O Lord, that we may be given faith, true saving faith, that we may be given the knowledge of our misery, that Thou may give us to believe Thy holy word, that does tell us how that we have been created and how deeply that we have fallen. Oh, that we may be given desires that are new and that belong to that life that is born out of heaven, and that we may be made to hasten for our life's sake while it is still called today. Oh, show to us then how short that our life is, that it is but an handbreadth, that it is but a vapor that cometh and disappeareth. Oh, bless the callings that come unto us day by day. Show unto us how uncertain that our life is, and that any moment that we can be called to stand before Thy throne, and when death will climb into our window, oh, that Thou may make us concerned, O Lord. Grant unto us a true love of Thee born in our hearts, O shed it abroad in our hearts. O Thou sayest some save with fear, but Lord, Thou knowest that we so often by Thy Spirit made to love. O could it be that the love of Thee may be shed abroad in our hearts also in this evening hour, and that Thy long-suffering may be observed, and that our hearts may be broken because we serve and love Thee not, and that we may be made to run after Thee. Look upon us then in this evening in the way of looking back for a moment, and that Thou would be on our right and on our left in the speaking and in the hearing, and that Thou would be in the midst of us to bless Thy holy word, forgiving and taking away all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163. All the stanzas, O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek Thy face within Thy holy house once more to see Thy glorious grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 163. Beloved congregation, after the commemoration of the Holy Supper of the Lord, it is fitting for us as a congregation to have an hour of reflection. Do we also reflect in a personal way by ourselves? Because there is so much that is lacking in the life of a person and also for God's people, and by the lack of this very important duty, that of reflection. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And boys and girls, if you will not forget something, if you want to remember something, what do you have to do? You say, I have to think about it over and over and over again. And then you can remember it. That's right. And that's why the psalmist says that he should not forget, that he should remember, that he should go over this. And that is now necessary for each and every one of us. And what is the fruit of that? That is the glory of the Lord. Bless the Lord, he says. And when we may bring, we hope to have Thanksgiving Day soon. And then it is always to reflect. And that is to magnify the name of the Lord for all of his gifts. And if that is so for our natural life, that is so much more also for the gifts of our soul, because these gifts ought to humble us. Like that Mephibosheth, when he said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Because that is now the way that when it is right, God's children are brought to feel like a dead dog. That the dogs may eat of the crumbs, we read, that may fall from the master's table. Thus, reflection is very appropriate, especially after that we are given to eat and to drink. Then we thank the Lord, children, when we are done eating and drinking. And that is also in way of reflecting. And so also in the Lord's Supper, that the church does not walk away without thanksgiving unto the Lord. But there is, of course, more reasons, because not everyone, congregation, actually how few that are given that liberty. And we see so many of you, and then we say, yeah, of what do we speak? We speak not of the highest things that are required, not of the highest knowledge, that is of assurance and justification and so on, no. But these are, yeah, they are the most necessary things. These are the things that are necessary to live in comfort. These are the things that are necessary to die in peace. And thus, well, to reflect. And we say, everyone in his own state, everyone in his own condition. The Lord says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people who do meditate about the things of God? Our text for this evening can be found in the portion read to you. And that is Philippians chapter 3. And thereof the 13th and the 14th verses. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So far the words of our text, wherein we read, one thing to do. First, what thing it is to do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That is, what thing it is to do, to forget and to reach forth. Second, the manner that it is to be done. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thus, one thing to do, what thing it is to do, and second, the manner it is to be done. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Who is it? That is the Apostle Paul. And he is speaking to the church at Philippi. Boys and girls, Philippi. Who does that make you think about? You say, well, I think then about Lydia, right? And I think about the Philippian jailer. Yes. Where the Lord has worked and begun a church in the time of the New Testament, really the beginning of the church in Europe. And now Paul is in prison. He is in jail. This is probably his first imprisonment, after which likely he was let go for a little time and was imprisoned shortly thereafter again, and then had to exchange time for eternity. Thus Paul is coming close to his release. And that is his release from sin, from a body of sin and death, and that he may be delivered and enter into that glorious liberty of the children of God. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So what does that mean, to apprehend? That is to lay hold, to attain something. That something is appropriated. So something is made my own. I have laid hold on it. What does Paul desire to attain? What does he desire to apprehend? We read, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The Kontakening says, the blessed resurrection of the just, and thereby into eternal blessedness and glory. Thus Paul says, I have not yet attained. He is approaching death. He is a prisoner of Nero. And then after death is judgment. And then is going to be the resurrection of the dead. That is Paul's hope. That is what Paul is looking forward to. Can we look forward to that as well? What a comfort that is to Paul when he is nearing the end of his life, and when everything in this world is going to pass away. Then you say, what does a man have when he has sought everything that is in this world and obtained so much in this world? And we have to say goodbye to our loved ones. And then we enter into our last and final and our eternal state, O congregation. Do we meditate upon these things? And do we reflect on these things? Do we think about these things? Because it has to do with our eternal welfare. Paul says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul, he says, speaks not only about apprehending to lay hold on something, no, but he speaks also about being apprehended. He says, someone has laid hold of me. Did that same one, he says, of Christ Jesus, I am apprehended. Were you ever apprehended by Christ Jesus? Paul knows that when he was apprehended by Christ Jesus, and our children can tell us when that happened, he is apprehended now by Nero for the sake of Christ Jesus. But he was apprehended by Jesus himself. And that was when that man was, what? Say he was going on as a Pharisee. When he was in his natural religion. And when he was busy keeping all the commands of that ceremonial law. And what he thought was keeping the moral law. That he was apprehended of Christ Jesus on that way to Damascus. That is what the Lord does. He does that with every single one of his own elect. But now there is another matter, and that the church, it is another matter for the church here to apprehend. So Paul, he says, I was apprehended, but now he speaks about apprehending. So what is it now? Paul says, I am apprehended, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. So how does a man apprehend? How does he lay hold? How does he attain? Well, we have spoken to you that of that before. That is not something he can do, he can lay hold on with his hands or his eyes or his ears. No, what is the instrument? That is faith. That apprehension, that prize must be received, it must be apprehended only by faith. That is the instrument. But Paul says here, I count not myself to have apprehended. That is something. You say, Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus, and he has not yet apprehended. He has not yet laid hold on it. Well, it is not as if Paul has not had a beginning of this apprehension, but it is only now proving to us that apprehending and that receiving of those gifts and the blessings of Christ are received in different degrees. Thus Paul has a beginning of this reception. But he says, I have not reached perfection in this reception. That is a very difficult thing. Then the Lord is giving to each and every one the portion that he has laid out for them. Why does Paul say this? Well, he is speaking to these Philippians, and he says to these Philippians, he says, oh, that you would not think, because you are just now in the very beginning, he says that you would not think that you yourselves have already apprehended, because the Lord has been busy, as it were, with myself for these many years, and I myself have not apprehended. They were Judaizers. They were among this church. And Paul says, beware of them. He says, beware of the concision, that is, means the circumcision. He says they have confidence in the flesh. And that is through all of the observances that belong to that Old Testament time. And Paul says, if anyone is able to boast of things, then I am able to boast, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But Paul says, that is not now how a man is justified. He says, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. He says that is what justifies. He says when that is now received by faith, faith has to apprehend it. And Paul, we would say the most advanced in grace, he says, I am, as it were, just at the beginning. Because there is so much to be received, that is like standing before the ocean. And you say, well, I have just a little bit of water, but there is an ocean of water. And now Paul says, I have just actually a little beginning, and I am very much short of the perfection of receiving these blessings. And therefore, he says, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he compares himself to a runner. Boys and girls, you run sometimes. You will run in a race. And maybe sometimes you get a prize at the end of the race. And Paul now compares himself to a runner in a race. And a runner is going to run very fast, very swiftly, and he's looking for something. He is looking for the prize that is at the end of this race. Now Paul says, so that is in a spiritual way, oh boys and girls. Will you start to run now? Will you start to run now? Or are you going to wait until you're old to start running? You know, you can run much faster if you're young, right? And when you're old, it's not so easy to run. And that is also for your soul. Because when we become old, and there are many, many things that are going to stand in our way. We get weak in the mind, we get weak in the body, so many frailties that we do not have when we are young. And thus you must begin to run in this race. You ask the Lord to teach you to run and to put you on that way, on that race, and that you may also receive this prize. And what is that prize? He calls it the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The calling, when is that effected? You say, well, that is already in the beginning of that race, that is in regeneration. But now the prize, when is that received? That is not received in the beginning. No, that is received at the end of that race. That prize is not received by human merit, by any kind of human perfection. No, it is received by faith. But you know that faith is not such an easy thing, or is it? Many speak of that very easily. But if we want truly to believe, then we want to know what faith truly is. And then if we will try to believe, you ever do that? Try to believe? Did you ever try to weep? Can you do that? Some people can do that much easier than others. But did you ever try to give your heart, make your heart heavy? You try that tonight? To make your heart heavy. Our heart should be heavy because of our sin against God. So now make it heavy. Yeah. So I cannot make it heavy. No, why not? Because then you must believe. You must believe that word of God. And the Lord has to give love in your heart for Him. And then your heart is going to get heavy. And you are going to begin to weep if it is not tears outside. Then they will be tears on the inside. And thus there are two things here. Paul says, I am apprehended. That is the Lord's work. That is now the first part, and man is actually passive in that. Glad for that? Are you glad for that? That he is passive in that. Because if you have ever thought to make yourself active and you'd say, I'm going to make my heart heavy, then you will find out how impossible that is. And now you say, ah, but the Lord is the first in that. And now what we have heard in this morning, then David, he says to the Lord, I will go and I will seek it from him who gives it. Do you believe that too? Or do you think the Lord has changed and that the Lord is not using anymore his own institution? That he has done this in the past, but the preaching of his word, though that has greatly declined from all that our fathers could do in the past, and that we have to do it just in our simplicity. Or do you think that the Lord cannot use one word also tonight for yourself? Did you ask the Lord for that when you sat down in his house? Who say, Lord, it is thy holy day. And oh, I have seen it this morning. A people who are a blessed people. And Lord, I am on the outside of this. And I cannot be on the outside of this. And wilt thou make my heart heavy? And wilt thou give me true godly sorrow? That I also may be a partaker of all the benefits of thy true church. That is now. That is now actually when it will come out of your heart in truth. That is already the fruit of the working of his spirit. You cannot tell that yet. You cannot tell that yet. Why can't you tell that yet? Because it has not come far enough. Because there are others, as there is also a work that will fall away. Like a pliable, is convinced to come along, but it doesn't last. Oh, continue on, congregation. If that is in your heart, oh, that you would be heartened to continue on in praying. And as we mentioned, our fathers say to wait, not passively, no actively, for a season of richer grace. And to go to that place continually in your secret chambers before the Lord, that you may receive that which you are not able to miss. So we have that in the first place when the Lord is coming on his side apprehend and take hold of you. And then faith is going to do something. He is planting faith. And faith is going to become active immediately. Not 5 years from now. No, that will happen right now because faith is never completely inactive. And it is going to begin to do something. You know what Paul says? He says, I press. I press. And that congregation is what faith does. It is going to begin to press. It is going to desire to press to lay hold on something. Not the Lord's Supper. Because there are so many that if they could just lay hold on the Lord's Supper, then they have it. Congregation, that is a poor people. Because it is not about the Lord's Supper. It is about the substance. And that substance is a spiritual substance. And your soul that needs to lay hold by the operation of the Spirit of God upon the substance that is there laid out and that is portrayed to us through that Holy Supper. So what does it mean to press? The Lord Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. What is violent? What is violence? That is violence in prayer, in supplication. Do you know what Jacob said? He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. We read he wrestled. You pray. Or do you pray? Jacob wrestled. What is that? That is not just saying your prayer, but do you wrestle? That means do you feel your need? Do you feel that you cannot miss? Do you value the prize? Do you desire also the blessings of the true people of God? And when you are not answered immediately, what then? Then do you maybe just cease praying? A congregation, that prize. The prize is something that is not easily gotten. Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. But only one receives the prize. So run, he says, that ye may obtain. Thus, effort is necessary, he says. Effort. And when you have to put out effort, then there is going to be pain. Yeah. How much pain? How much suffering did the Lord Jesus not endure that he may gain this prize for his church? His whole life on earth, he has suffered. And he has endured that pain in order that he may give his life. What do we read of the Holy Ghost? That the Holy Ghost is interceding for his church with groanings that cannot be uttered. Groaning for his own people. And now what do you think? That his people are going to just receive it with a lazy wish. With a lazy wish, it will not be. No, we do not read that in the Word of God. We read here that the prize is won. It is won as if that a person is running in a race. And that prize that is not only won by pain, but that prize is won very often after running a race for a long time. What did the Lord Jesus say about that widow and the unjust judge? He says, and shall not his elect, which cry day and night unto him, day and night unto him. And that is now for a long season. He bears long with them. He lets them cry, as it were, to work that need, and that estate may be sold. Oh, the Lord knows what we need. We don't know what we need. Abraham was 99 years old. He did not yet receive the promise. that he received when he was 75 years old. Gave up. He gave up. He says, I must put my hand to it. It comes not from the Lord. I must help him. And then he used a means that was not right. Oh, congregation, do you understand it? That was 25 years. You see how that it goes in the way of impossibility? And you have been waiting. You have been waiting. And you say it is all useless. Is that so? Do we find that then in the Word of God? That it is useless? We find that the Lord will show his people the impossibility from their own side. We find that the Lord is going to work a wonder in the life of his people. That he is going to get the honor, that he is going to get the glory. This one thing I do, he says, I press. Why? He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I am not perfect yet. I am not perfected in this knowledge. That is, in the knowledge of Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection. What I know of him is so small, that is just in its infancy. And Paul has no power to apprehend, to lay hold by faith on anything except the Lord is presenting it unto that faith to lay hold of. And that knowledge of him and the power of his resurrection, he says, that is now the one thing that I long for. Ever since that I have seen something of it, and my heart has gone out after it, this is now the one thing. Oh, because if we have seen it, then we are spoiled. Then there is nothing in the world that is able to come up to the value, to the blessedness, to the sweetness, to the preciousness of receiving that one treasure. Paul says, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press that I may receive the prize. That is, at the end of the race, I press that I may be found, he says, in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, that is a most blessed apprehension. By faith, Paul looked. He longed for the perfect enjoyment of this, to which he says, I still do not have it. But he says, I do everything that I may receive it. Let us sing 203, 3, 4, and 5. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee, to whom my thoughts aspire, and having thee on earth is naught that I can yet desire. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 203. thing to do, what thing it is to do, that is to press, the manner it is to be done. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of thy calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thus it is a great blessing that the Lord not only directs his church what they ought to do, but also how that they must do it. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. So that's relating again to that runner, children. That's easy for you to understand, I think, tonight. That runner in that race. Now, when you run the race, where are you looking? Say, do not look behind you. No, you have to look in front of you. You have to look forward. He says, the things before. Thus he's speaking about the mark. He says, you must keep your eye on that mark. And what happens if you will look back at the things that you have, Church of God? He says, already attained and glory in them. And then you say, well, see how far I've come. See how far I've come. Then you will slacken your pace. And when you will glory in the things that you have received, and then you will still lose that race in the end. Congregation, some of you may be privileged that you may come to that table of the Lord. How is it then with you? Because man is always looking for rest when it is not time yet to rest. No. Even in spiritual matters, then they can be like that rich farmer. He says, I have barns now, and I can build bigger barns where I can bestow all my goods. And then I can say to my soul, take thine ease. Because now I have attained unto something. But the wilderness is not Canaan. The wilderness is not the place of rest. No, that is the prize that is still laying before you. Regeneration is not the end. Is Christmas the end? Say no. Is Good Friday the end? No. Is Easter the end? No. Is the Ascension the end? Is the sitting at the right hand? No. The kingdom that has to be given up in the end by Christ unto God himself. Thus how much there is to know of Christ Jesus. And he says the power of his resurrection. Will you then glory in your attainments and slacken your pace? Paul says forgetting those things which are behind. You say, how can that be consistent? Because we just said we have to always examine ourselves. And when we have to examine ourselves, then we are not forgetting. We are looking over again at those things that are behind. Oh, Paul does not say you should not do that. No, but Paul, he speaks here about slackening your pace on account of counting your attainments. That is what the Judaizers were doing in Philippi. They said, oh, you are circumcised and you keep that ceremonial law. And so you are now the children of Abraham. You have a heritage and you belong now. You have all the ceremony. Paul says they are the confidence of the flesh. And he says, I can boast about the flesh much more than all of you can. He says, but I will count it all loss. All that boasting of the flesh is all loss. Or it has to be lost. It has to be sold. That is now the fruit of self-examination, that is loss. So with every self-examination, the sale of the estate is certified. Is certified when it is right by the people of the Lord. It is now all behind them. But now there is more, because what did that angel say to Lot? And to his wife, and to his daughters. He said, look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Why did he say that? Why look not behind thee with sadness for all the things that you have to leave behind you? No, the angel says, do not look back with regret and with longing for the things that you have to miss. When you will run this race, and when you will run this race, and you run a race, children, then you are leaving something behind you. He says you must go out to the mountains. He may flee unto Zoar, but he has to leave Sodom behind. And he says, that is now not nice for your flesh, but it is the only way that you can run this race. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Pliable, we read, he went back with the first discouragement, temporary faith. Then that is going back. It is not enduring unto the end. What do you think about the church? Are they not also fraught sometimes with temptations of everything that is in the flesh in that wilderness? So Paul says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, keep that prize always in view, always in your eyes. He says, that is the one thing I do, pressing, reaching forth, having not apprehended. Neither, he says, being already perfect. Not so complicated, right, children? Not so complicated. Children can understand it, I think. You know, you only have to count, you only have to be able to count to one. Can you count to one? Anyone who can count to one can understand what the apostle is saying. Do you know what Christ said to Martha? He said, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Can you count to one? And do you choose that one thing? Just like Mary chose that one thing. What was that one thing? It's like David this morning. Mary chose to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She wanted to listen. She saw that as a prize. She wanted to hear his words. Do you also make that same choice? Do you know who knows that? The Lord Jesus knows that. That's what he said about Mary. She didn't have to speak. No, but he defended her because he knew her. And he knew what was in her heart. And he knew what the choice was that was in her heart. And he said that choice, what she has chosen, that is not going to be taken away from her. Is that not a wonder? If the Lord will give us that choice, that is a choice that is actually never changing. Sometimes, then you say, I think it's all gone. I think it's all gone. I think it belongs to years ago. Congregation, it is not. There is then a cry that is living in the heart of their people as they are smiting upon their breast for the leaving of him that is so often days without number. Oh, those most precious things. The most precious things that's in life too. They are not easily attained, are they? You must work for them. Then there is effort and there's pain, and then you must continue on. The most precious things in life, the most precious things also in death. How are they promised? They are promised through seeking. They are promised through effort. They are promised through striving. Solomon says, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. One thing is needful. Oh, what will it be if we are standing before that door of heaven? The door of heaven. And if now the Lord says, you do not have. You do not have. You have so many things. You have so many things that you have sought. You have made great attainments in your life. No one can disagree with that. But you don't have the one thing that you need. Congregation, how will that be? So to stand before the Lord in that day, then it is going to be too late. It's going to be too late to sell our estate, everything that we have, and to follow the Lord Jesus, as he has said to that rich young ruler. Will you consider that today? And will you not wait to reflect on these things? A shut door. When we are standing before eternity, no right to the Lord's table. That's the same thing, isn't it? No right to the Lord's table. That is no right to enter in through that door. O congregation, David says, one thing I have desired. Does that desire now live in your heart? The Lord knows that. Whether you have come here this morning or whether you were not able to come here this morning, but the Lord knows everything that is living in your heart. Peter's life testified against him. Everything that had been seen by man. And yet, he had such perfect freedom, even after his sin, to say unto the Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And that was the truth. That was the truth. And that is, congregation, what matters. That is between God and our soul. One thing is needful. One thing is lacking. One thing I desire. This one thing, he says, I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul says? He says, laying aside every weight. Every weight. Young people, you're going to run in a race. You're going to run in a race. Which of you is going to take your backpack with all your books and put it on your shoulders and run that way? Which of you would do that? Say no. Leave that off. Leave it off. And this off and that off, that I may be as light as possible. that there may be nothing weighing me down, that I may be able to run as fast as possible, because there is only one person that is in the end going to receive that prize. Paul says, laying aside every weight. And he says, the sin which doth so easily beset us, oh, so easily beset by sin, by vanity, by carnality. How many blessings does the church not forfeit because they carry with them weights which they should be laying aside? And then that church receiving so precious little when there is so much for that church that is to be received already in this life, so much to be obtained of that blessed knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection for an undeserving and for a poor sinner. Joshua, when he died, he said something very similar. You know what he said? He said this. He says, not one thing hath failed of all the good things that the Lord hath spoken concerning Israel. Now one thing has failed. The Lord has done everything to lay hold of His bride. He has fulfilled everything that He said that He was going to do. And thus that church is going to attain that resurrection of the dead. And because there is nothing lacking from His side, oh, then they are going to attain everything that He has bought for them, being found in Him, having not mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou instruct us, give us life in our souls, that thy word may enter into our hearts, because the time is short and the matter is serious. It has to do with life and death eternally. O, give an impression, a saving impression in the hearts of young and old, that we might see that there is but one thing to do. Oh, that we might do it with all of our heart and with all of our strength, that we may beseech Thee for strength to do it, for life to do it, and that Thou wouldst bless all the work of our hands, forgive all of our many sins, and be with us. In the week that is now begun, watch over each and every one. Keep from a sudden and an unprepared death. Forgive our many sins. Leave something behind for Jesus' sake. Amen. 229, stanzas 3 and 4. And blessed they who in thy house abide, they still to thee shall render praise. Blessed they who in thy strength confide, and in whose hearts are Zion's ways. Though passing through the vale of tears, like springs of joy, thy grace appears. 3 and 4 of 229. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.